2 Peter chapter 3. And we are going to talk about another characteristic of the Christian life. This one is somewhat similar to another one we've already talked about in the past. But, of course, a lot of these go hand in hand. I please hope you understand that. As they develop and build in our lives, they kind of all mush together just to make a thing called Christian, you know. Just they all fit together just right. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, please. We're going to begin in verse 9. I'll read these verses to you. Verses 9 through 18 of 2 Peter and chapter 3. And beginning in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And forgiveness and long-suffering kind of go together, right? Mercy is associated with long-suffering. God's grace is associated with long-suffering. So, but specifically in one word, what is long-suffering? Patience. Okay, it's basically patience. But here's the whole definition. Bearing injuries or provocation. I had to look up that word, provocation. I wasn't sure exactly what that all entailed. But it's basically meaning excited by anger. Okay, that's what provocation means. It's being excited either by anger or to anger. So bearing that wanting to get angry, wanting to get wrathful, or even bearing injury. Like somebody injures you, you just bear it. Okay, so you bear this for a long time. So you don't respond to it, you hang on to it. All right? Patient, not easily provoked. Okay, so that's what long-suffering entails. All right? So as you can see, the word itself kind of does make sense. Long-suffering. If you have to bear injury or bear this feeling of being excited to anger and not letting it out for a long time, that's kind of like suffering. you see how that works together? All right? So this is something, in other words, we need to take it on the cheek, if you will, is what he's saying. Or and listen, we're going to talk about this tonight in so many words, but all it's saying is it doesn't mean that we just lie down and do nothing. We're not just pushovers. We're not just pushed aside. But rather, this actually takes a lot of control and a lot of reining in and even really relying on the Lord for strength But to be long-suffering. And it has a purpose. And we're going to look at that and those things. What would the purpose of bearing injuries or bearing provocation for a long time, being patient and not easily provoked? There's got to be an end to this, yes? Or a reason for such. I mean, why isn't, okay, you took my eye, I'm taking your eye. Right? You took my tooth, I'm taking your tooth, right? An eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, right? I have to do that every once in a while just to make sure you don't forget that I have that. But, you know, why not now? Why not just get it over with? Well, there's a purpose for it. God had a purpose. Our God is listed as long-suffering. That's one of His characteristics. And that's what this whole study is about. We just want to mirror the characteristics of God. So if God can be long-suffering, if you want to put it in a way, He's postponing judgment. Okay, we're going to talk about that, like I said, tonight. So, first of all, long-suffering is not excited to anger. Not excited to anger. As a young person, I had a difficulty with this thing. When something wrong happened to me, I want to get angry about it. Right now. And do something about it. Right now. That's something I need to work on. I needed to work on it then, and I still need to work on it, but I'm getting a little better at that. But can I tell you something? We've talked about this before. Aren't you glad? Now, you can take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 34, by the way. Aren't you glad that neither Moses nor God got on the same page at the same time together? There would be no children of Israel. It'd be the children of Moses. That's a bit. God would have had to start over with him. And God and had said so much, and we're going to look at that again. I keep saying that tonight. That's going to be the phrase I'm stuck on today. Look at verse 1, chapter 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee out two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. You know the story. He's up in Sinai. Children of Israel say, oh, hey, he's taking a long time. Aaron, help us out here. Right? And, of course, in Aaron's own words, he just put the gold in the pot and the calf appeared. I mean, it's amazing. not quite. So they get down, they're coming down the mountain, and Joshua says it sounds like the noise of war, and Moses said, no, it's not. It's sin. These people are sinning against him. He takes the tables, and in his anger, boom, y'all don't deserve this. Now hold on a minute. God gave Moses those tables. Those are God's commandments. So if somebody wanted to get angry and break them, it should have been God, not Moses. You know what Moses needed? Practice at long-suffering. Oh, was he justified? Absolutely. But was that his place? Wasn't his place. So God, I think God kind of shows that by saying, hey, you know what, Moses? You go carve out the stone tablets, drag them back up here, and we're going to work on this together. Why? Maybe teach him some patience. So they go up there and he says, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning up to Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me at the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables out of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So, God, in Moses' presence, makes this proclamation. Why do you suppose he did that? To help Moses with this characteristic, I think. Because you know what? As you read through this story in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, what did Moses fight with over and over and over again? These people! All they do is complain! I'm tired. And what got him in trouble ultimately? Fine! Bang! Now he's supposed to speak to it that time. Not hit it with, he did it out of his frustration. And it cost him, didn't it? Dearly. So not getting excited to anger. Long suffering. Over in Numbers 14, the Lord said unto Moses, this is one of the things I was talking about. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of thee a greater nation mightier than they. So God was kind of getting a little short in his long suffering, right? Well, Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for that thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou art the Lord among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day in the time of pillar of a cloud, and by pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. Spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of a great mercy. This is quality. It ought to be our quality too. Now, not being excited to anger. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. It's one thing to show anger, and anger is not a sin. But I think maybe being excited to anger or perhaps pushing into a different realm of wrath, perhaps, is something that we ought not do. So, you understand that when you talk about long suffering, it's just not being excited to anger. You can show displeasure. And you can even tell someone, listen, what you're doing maybe isn't right to do and such and so forth, but we need to deal with it in a proper fashion. A proper fashion. And sometimes having to bear the injuries or provocation for a long time. How easily are you provoked? How impatient are you? I know that this is something, I'm kind of short suffering. I'm not very long suffering. and maybe I'm growing to a little bit of a medium suffering, but, it's hard. I didn't say it was easy. And again, we're not just overlooking sin and looking past it and saying, oh, that didn't exist. No, it's a different thing than that. It's just, first of all, not being excited to anger. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the Bible tells us, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Psalm 103, the Bible tells us the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In Psalm 145, it says, "Thou, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great God, goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Solomon said in Proverbs 14, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Proverbs 15 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Proverbs 16 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Now you understand that, like I said before, it is not just it is not overlooking sin, but it's just deciding to bear it for the moment. Okay? To what end? Well, sometimes, like Solomon said, if we add fuel to the fire, it's not going to be wise. We're going to exalt folly. But rather, if we're wise in the long-suffering and slow to anger, that's going to help diffuse the circumstance. That's something they teach in safety classes with dealing with situations that may come up with firearms or things like that type settings. Sometimes that's not the wisest thing to do, is pull out a gun. Sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. You know, we have to learn to be long suffering. So will God's judgment come? Yes, it will. In the proper time. Maybe instantly is not the proper time. You know, sometimes as a Christian school principal, I would know of something, especially with older children, and I would not reveal that I knew about it until a later time. I would not deal with it until a later time. For several reasons. Sometimes, maybe it was something that was just not able to deal with at that particular moment. How many of you had to just kind of walk away from something because you were too upset? Okay. I have a hard time doing that. I usually just get too upset. But you know what? Sometimes we need to just walk away from it and come back and deal with it at a later time. What does that do for the individuals that are involved sometimes? Allows them time to contemplate things. What was God trying to do with Israel over the course of these things? What did he want? Did he want to kill them all? Did he really want to punish them all? Did he really want to put them into oppression after oppression after oppression after oppression to make them pay for what they'd done to him? And listen, had they done to him? Had they injured him? Had they done things that could have made him excited to anger? Oh, yes. And let's go further. Were they deserving of all such things? Absolutely. But what did he really want? Repentance. He wanted them to come to their senses, to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their follies. In Nahum chapter 1, the Bible says, "God is jealous. And the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And will not acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. And drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, the flowers of Lebanon, languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Well, it seems like a conflict of things there, doesn't it? The fierceness, the wrath, the anger. And listen, God is a righteous judge, and he is and can be all those things. And oftentimes will decide to do such. Did you notice there? He's slow to anger. He's good. In other passages, he's gracious and merciful unto us. God is long-suffering. But you know what? Long-suffering does not mean forever suffering. And how long is long-suffering? What's the duration? We don't know. For some, it may be more. For others, it may be less. If you go back and read through the story of the children of Israel, and sometimes God sent judgment rather quickly upon them. And sometimes it wasn't until after the death of a judge or a king or somebody that maybe was part of doing right and good, and then the bad things came after that. We don't know how long it is, but it's long. So the thing to take away from is God can do these things. He can melt things. He can blow things up. He can take care of all. He can do all this stuff. Who can stand before his indignation? And you know what? Maybe some of us are capable of, not melting things with our eyes or anything like that, but of causing damage or inflicting pain, perhaps. But ought we to do such? There may be circumstances where that's needful. God, in some cases, decided to deal with things immediately. I'm just trying to tell us that it's a characteristic we need to hang on to not be excited to anger. Now, go over to Romans chapter 2. I only have 2 minutes left to get through 2 points. 1 minute per point. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So not only do we need to kind of make sure that we not get excited to anger, but understand that long-suffering is a display of Christ in us to the lost. It's a display of Christ in us to the lost. You know what he said here? He says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Aren't you glad that God was long-suffering to you? Gave you opportunity to come to a place where you would come and to Jesus Christ for salvation? I mean, honestly, truly, in a lot of our lives, we didn't deserve to live as long as we did before salvation. But God allowed us, through his long suffering, to come to the place of repentance. It's a display of Christ in us to the lost. When we are long suffering to maybe those that deserve such and such, we're showing them the same long-suffering that God showed to us. Are we not? It's a display of Christ in us to the lost. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed.
but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. David said in Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are arisen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul. Yet have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me of a token for good, and they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. You understand that we ought to let Christ show in our lives, emulating the things that he's done for us, so that others can see and come to know him as their Savior. And then lastly, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Not only is long-suffering, being not excited to anger, and a display of Christ in us to the lost, but it's also a display of the Holy Spirit of God in us. How full are you of the Holy Ghost? Well, maybe our long suffering is somewhat of a meter that tells how full we are of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. To go back to our text in 2 Peter, we see that there is given the example of the Lord and how he knows to be long-suffering to do the same. You see, God is long-suffering to us, and we should be long-suffering to others. God is long-suffering, then the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us is likewise long-suffering. And if it's in you, and you're long-suffering, that shows that the Holy Spirit of God is full in your life. We know that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand that God wants people to be saved. And we get to be a carrier of that salvation to them through the Holy Spirit of God that's in us. And in verse 15 he says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." When the Holy Spirit is full in our lives, we're walking in the Spirit, and we can be long-suffering to others. I like what Paul said in Colossians 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which time ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one unto another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge of the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You understand that as we walk in the Spirit and are filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to display the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to display Christ in us. And it's going to be a display unto the lost of this world. It's a difficult thing to be long-suffering. And you say, "Well, Pastor Combs, you really didn't tell us how long we should suffer." I can't tell you that. But if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, He'll let you know. I just think we all could use a little bit more of long-suffering in our lives toward others. Lost people and saved people. It's a display of one of the attributes of God, characteristics of God in our lives.